What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Oh, how apropos. Who's going to put a ring on it? Can the Knicks put a ring on it? Can they figure out a way to defeat the defending ring bearers in the Boston Celtics tonight? Madison Square Garden. Game number 6. Series on the line because we all fear game 7. Legacies on the line. Possibly jobs on the line. That's what happens when you're up 3-1. You cannot lose this game. This is a huge game. Madison Square Garden, game number 6 tonight. 888-808-1019. And we know what's going on at Yankee Stadium, the Subway Series. Soto's return to the Bronx. And we'll see what the reaction is. Let's see what Rich in South Orange has to say about it. What's up, Rich?
How you doing, Chris? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's going on?
Please don't cut me off. I'd like to make 2 points. About the Yankees' long-term interests with regards to the Juan Soto situation.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I heard what you said about the long-term interest. You know, Juan's going to be with the Mets for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my counter to that. If Max Fried remains one of the top 10 pitchers in baseball for 5 out of the next 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and he wins a World Series, don't you think that it might have turned out for the better for the Yankees to get Fried as opposed to keeping Soto? And my second point is, I disagree with you when you say that positional players are more important in the playoffs. And in the World Series, elite pitching usually dominates. And I think an example of that, the great Judge, as great as he's been in the regular season,
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs and in the World Series, he struggled against elite pitchers. So I think, in my opinion, depending on what Fried does, the Yankees might long-term be better off.
A couple things. One, pointing out Judge's failures in the postseason, and you could spin it that way, that the pitching is more important, or you could say the reason they haven't won is because Judge hasn't been Judge, and the offense is more important, and they don't hit because they've gotten good enough pitching. They don't. It's not like they get blown out of these games. They don't score enough runs almost exclusively every time they lose a series. I also don't think it's Judge is being shut down by good pitching. I think Judge a little bit is the pressure. A little bit is it gets into a funk. And I don't think it's that he can't hit good pitching because he hits good pitching all year long. And then he struggles in the postseason. And the other thing I would tell you is if you look at Max Fried, he has a career ERA of 5.1 in the postseason. He has a whip of 1.49. He has a record of 2-5. He has been a bad postseason pitcher.
Okay, but like I said, if he...
Well, if Juan Soto were with the Yankees and he hit a home run in every single World Series game, then, you know, I mean, we can't do ifs.
But what I'm saying is that if I had to bet right now,
mm-hmm.
who wins a World Series or who wins more World Series in the next 8 years, the Yankees or the Mets with Soto, based on what I see from Max Fried and the Yankees prospects, I would bet on the Yankees.
Well, I mean, I might bet on the Yankees just because they've been more successful at doing this over the last 30 years. The Mets can count on one hand the amount of times they've been to the postseason consecutive years, and the Yankees have lived in the postseason for 30. So, until proven otherwise, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I don't know how much it has to do with just Juan Soto. And yes, in the postseason, the starting pitching absolutely becomes more important than it does over the regular season. That's no doubt. In the regular season, you can't even argue with me that the everyday player is more important, and you do have to make the playoffs and have a winning team. And then, like, even in, and thank you for the call, Rich. Even having said that, I still think the everyday player is more valuable. He just is. We've seen, look what the Mets are doing with their starting pitching right now. I mean, and the other thing is pitchers get hurt a lot more. Juan Soto has played how many games? Max Fried has missed how many starts over the last handful of years? Like, Juan Soto plays 160 games almost every single year. Now, I know that goes... certain players do get hurt, certain players have stayed healthy, but just in general, starting pitchers and pitchers in general get hurt all the time. You know, Max Fried has had some time where he's missed. I mean, he's made a lot of starts. He hasn't, it's overblown, but, you know, last year he made 29 starts. The year before that, he made 14. He's had some injury issues. He's yet to throw a 200 inning season. And Juan Soto plays every single day. And I just don't think it's a fair hypothetical to say, well, if the Yankees win a World Series over the next 5 years and Max Fried is one of the best 10 pitchers in baseball for those 5 years, then yeah, I want to win a World Series. So if you tell me in the next 5 years they win a World Series, I'm not going to argue about where Juan Soto is or whether or not the Yankees signed Juan Soto. Of course, I'll be happy that they won a World Series. But who's to say they wouldn't have won two if Juan Soto was on the team? I don't know. And Max Fried's been great. This isn't a knock Max Fried thing. And I'm not even, I'll dismiss his postseason, right? Everyone wants to tell me when it comes to Devin Williams that it doesn't matter what happened in Milwaukee, that it's a different animal, but I'm sure they'll all point to Max Fried's negative postseason and have no problem correlating that. Like, I assume Max Fried's going to be really good in the postseason because he's a really good pitcher. Despite previous numbers. And I certainly don't think that it's Aaron Judge can't hit good pitching. I think that's a narrative that's just silly. I'll be totally honest with you. I think it's a lot of different reasons. I think he gets into funks. I think he tries to do too much. Because again, the postseasons, and I know I don't want to keep saying this, but the postseasons weren't so bad before 2022. We are talking about two dreadful postseasons, 22 and last year, that have completely clouded everything else. They were so horrific. And I'm not running from that or saying anything different. He was atrocious, not bad, not subpar, atrocious in the last two postseasons. When he became the great player, when he hit the 60 home runs, and when he signed that contract in last year, I think the pressure of the postseason has got into his head a little bit. He gets into a bad habit. And he goes through funks like anybody else, and he found one in the postseason. I don't think it's that they know how to pitch him or that he can be pitched to, because I'm sorry, I just find that such horse crap. I gotta be totally honest with you. The guy's hitting 400.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
The guy's hitting 400. Are you telling me? And right now, Juan Soto's the better postseason player. Juan Soto, it's easier to pitch to Judge than it is to pitch to Juan Soto. Then why is he hitting damn near 200 points less? Are you saying that the pitchers don't care to pitch to Juan Soto any tougher? Or they don't care to pitch to Judge any tougher in the regular season? Why? How could you tell me one player is easier to pitch to, one player is better when it comes to a single at bat or, you know, situational hitting or whatever else, when Aaron Judge is hitting damn near 200 points higher? And I know it's May. But is Juan Soto not trying? Are the pitchers not trying to get Judge out? Are they lulling him into a self-security where they know they can get him out in the postseason? Like, it's just silly. Like, I was looking at these stats. Like, even like you can't tell me Judge is easier pitch to. Ready? Like, there's a couple of weird ones. One, he has more 3-hit games than he has no hit games. He has as many singles, since we're all hung up on singles, he has as many singles as Bryce Harper has hits. And this is the one that speaks to his ability to have a good at-bat. And to be pitched to. Aaron Judge, with 2 strikes, is hitting 244. With 2 strikes, Aaron Judge is hitting 244. Major league batting average. In any situation, just Major League batting average. The overall batting average in Major League Baseball is 243. He's better with 2 strikes than the average baseball player is in general. That's insane. He's better with 2 strikes than Major League Baseball is in every at-bat. I think it is so overblown that he can be pitched to, that he can't hit good pitching. It's nonsense. It's not true. He struggles in the postseason for whatever reason, and honestly, if you look at his postseason numbers before 22, they're solid. They're not Aaron Judge. They're not the best player in baseball. But they are solid postseason numbers. He still has an above 700 OPS, even as bad as he's been over the last 2 years. He strikes out way too much, and the last two have been really bad, and that's all anybody cares about, and rightfully so. He's got to be better. He was in the World Series awful for the first 4 games of the World Series. Awful. It's unacceptable. I'm not making excuses for him. It's unacceptable. I just don't think it's because come postseason time, all of a sudden, everybody knows how to pitch the Judge. Because if they knew how to pitch the Judge, they'd do it now. Kevin in Copog. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, C-Mac?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Juan Soto is 26.
Yes.
Judge is 33.
Correct.
Judge burst on the scene at 25.
Correct.
Juan Soto burst on the scene at 19.
Correct.
Won a World Series at 20. He's 7 years younger and a proven postseason performer and champion.
Mm-hmm.
Judge is a practice hero, a postseason failure with zero rings.
Yes.
So boo till the cows come home.
Yes.
We'll see if Soto brings a ring to Queens.
Well, he better,
in
right?
Seven
he
years.
Better.
Build around Grisham.
Yeah, no, listen, I hear you. We're building around the better baseball player, which is Aaron Judge. But I hear you. There's no doubt about it. You're talking to the wrong guy. I mean, if you want to send a message to the fan base through the radio, I get it. But I've been arguing for the last hour that the Yankees were not better off losing out on Juan Soto. I mean, if you want to make it a Judge Soto thing, I just right now is a tough time to do it. He's the best hitter on the planet, and he's far better than Juan Soto. But there's no doubt.
A lot older, though. I mean, come on.
No, well, of course, yeah, I agree. If I was going to sign someone to a 10-year contract today, I'd sign Juan Soto. I agree. He's younger. But he's not better right now, and he probably won't be better for the next 3 or 4 years. After that, it's a 15-year deal. And that's why I've been talking about how even in the short-sighted moment of looking at Max Fried and where the Yankees are right now and the emergence of Ben Rice and what Grisham is doing right now, that you could make an argument the Yankees are better at the moment than if they would have signed Juan Soto. But it's a 15-year deal, and Judge is not going to be this player for another, you know, his contract's another 6 years. They'll be lucky if that's the case. I'll be thrilled. But let's say 4 years. Let's just be optimistic and say he's this player for another 4 years. Then what happens? I really wish I had Juan Soto to step in and be the next superstar of the New York Yankees. I totally agree with you.
But Vladimir Guerrero's off the board. I mean, Kyle Tucker looks like he's go Cubs go.
I mean, everyone would have said last year that Juan Soto looked like go Yankees go. He's got to hit free agency. Yeah, I mean, let's see if he signs a contract with them. Who knows? But there are rumors that the Dodgers could be involved in him, and he hasn't signed an extension yet, and I'm surprised Vladimir Guerrero did it. Maybe it's because of his position. But you see the numbers that are given out, I would be shocked if anybody as good as Kyle Tucker doesn't want to at least hit free agency to see what the numbers are.
Let's talk about the Dodgers, though. If my Mets can get Luis Robert Jr. and Sandy Alcantara, can we go at them?
Yeah, you can go at them now. I don't think there's any doubt that you're good enough to compete with the Dodgers right now. Sandy Alcantara, for whatever, you know, I don't know what to make of his season right now. He's been awful. He's just not been very good. He's coming off an injury. He's not been very good. He's going to be a target at the deadline, but I don't know what he's going to get at the deadline right now or how excited you would be to go get him. I believe in his talent, and I don't know if he'll always be bad, but he's having a rough season of it right now, and sometimes it's tough to turn that around. Like if you're the Mets and you're looking to trade for him to be in your rotation come postseason time, would you start him right now over Griffin Canning? Or do you believe that the Mets lab is so talented, which it's hard not to believe, that you could take a picture of Sandy Alcantara's talent and fix whatever his ills are at the moment? I suppose that's – I just don't know how much you trade for that kind of thought process. Like, you want to trade for a guy who's dominating. You don't want to trade for Sandy Alcantara with the idea of, hey, he once was great and I still believe in his stuff and we'll transform him back to that and then trade top prospects for that process. Like, that's where it becomes difficult. Plus – like, why would the Mets trade for a starting pitcher right now? Like, I just don't know why they would do that. Go sign, you know, they're going to have, what's his name, coming back from injury. And Manaea's coming back from injury. And they're also going to have Frankie Montas coming back from injury. And what makes you think that they aren't going to turn both of those into the best versions of themselves again? Montas is going to be excellent with the Mets. Every pitcher is. And that's not sarcasm. I'm not being a jerk. I did make it sarcastically at the beginning of the year. The Mets have beaten out all the sarcasm from me. I'm being legit. Why on earth would you think that Frankie Montas isn't going to come in here and be really good? Everybody they work with becomes really good. Manaea is coming back. Frankie Montas is coming back. I mean, Blackburn is still out there, they have enough starting pitching where I doubt they want to give up top prospects for a starting pitcher when they get everyone to pitch like an ace. They have the best rotation in baseball. So I don't know. Why would the Mets trade for Sandy Alcantara? Now, another bat? Maybe. You could definitely see that. But even that, where are they going to play? You know, right, with Winker's injury and Marte not having a great year, it's a tough goal for him. He's been a starter for so long, he's struggling with the platoon role he has. But, you know, you've got Beatty who's emerging. You have the top of the lineup settled. Your infield is settled. You have maybe a center fielder. You go out and trade for a center fielder. But I don't know how much you impact this team, really, quite honestly. Rob in New London. What's up, Rob?
Hey. What up, what up? How you doing tonight?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to the series this weekend, although I'm a little concerned, although the gloom and doom about the pitching lab that you speak so highly of. Hey, look, I respect them, but I think we can beat them. We're pretty damn good.
Absolutely. The Yankees?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The Yankees can easily sweep this series. It's a series in May. Anyone's capable. And yeah, they're going to face Tyler McGill. They're going to face Griffin Canning. And then they're going to face Peterson. So on paper, the Yankees have the benefit of the pitching matchup. But, I mean, let's be honest. Griffin Canning's been so damn good. I guess that's a better – right now, if you just go by the numbers and how it goes, Carlos Rodon's actually been really good, so I would give the Yankees the pitching matchup against McGill. Griffin Canning has been better than Clark Schmidt. He's only got a couple of starts under his belt, so you got to go Griffin Canning in game two. And then Max Fried's been about as good as any starting pitcher in baseball. So despite having the best rotation in the sport, who they consistently throw these amazing starts at you, the Yankees have the pitching advantage in the series. And again, that's hard to say, but if I had to gun to my head, I would say the Yankees have the better matchup 2 out of 3. And the Yankees right now have the more potent, more long offense who've been better at scoring runs. I'm not afraid of the Mets. The Mets are a damn good baseball team.
Absolutely.
And I think Soto's going to have a monster series. I just believe in him in these moments. But, yeah, the Yankees can absolutely win the series. Any Mets fan who tells you they can't, they're lying to you.
Well, of course. Juan Soto is good, and yes, he's been proven in postseason, but when it comes to Aaron Judge, I want to bring a cannon to a knife fight, and Aaron Judge gives me the best offensive productivity over the course of time, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to take it. And anybody who says otherwise, that they would prefer someone who is more productive in the postseason, granted that is important, productivity of Aaron Judge, they're kidding themselves and they're envious, and that's all they're doing is they're hating.
Yeah,
and
no, listen, I agree, Rob, and I'm sorry I'm up against the break. The postseason is too short a sample size. It's important. It's the most important. There's no doubt about it. And Judge over the last 2 years has struck out a ton. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. It's just a fact. That doesn't change the fact he's the best offensive player in the sport, and it's not close. And if the postseason were starting tomorrow, I would take Aaron Judge over anybody, over Juan Soto, over anyone. I don't care about previous numbers. I don't care. I don't believe previous postseasons to be a guarantee into what you will see next. Now, if you get into the series and you're through the American League Division Series, you're into the Game 6 of the ALCS, and Judge has been awful again, then it's a different story. But if the postseason were starting tomorrow, I don't care what you say, I don't care what numbers you give me, if the postseason was starting tomorrow, there's nobody I'd rather have up in a big at-bat than Aaron Judge. Nobody. And I don't care about his postseason numbers previous. I don't. He's the best hitter in the world. He's proven it over the last 3 years. I'm not focused on the last 3 weeks of last season. I'm just not. Not if I'm going to make projections on what I expect going forward. Postseason started tomorrow. If this game tonight was a postseason game, there's nobody in all of baseball, I want up more than Aaron Judge. And I think you're crazy if you disagree.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Meetings, errands, screaming kids, all while scrolling box scores. We get it, and we got you, New York Sports. No filter. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:31, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Talking about Aaron Judge for a second there, something I am interested to see how the Mets handle, because the Mets have really been incredible pitching-wise. And it's getting to the point now where, like, we could talk about the postseason and everything. Let's have a more funneled view of what Aaron Judge is right at the moment and not necessarily what he will be in the postseason for a second. This series, moving forward. Because we are getting to the point, as good as the lineup has been, and it's been far better than last year, right? Even the, you know, Bellinger's had a down season, but over the last, you know, 17 games, his OPS is somewhere like 840. Like, he's been turning it around. Volpe's been turning it around. Obviously, Goldschmidt is having a renaissance season. We've talked about Ben Rice. We've talked about Grisham. So the lineup's been better. But we're getting to the point, and we always say this, and then it doesn't really happen. But we're getting to the point of it makes no sense in certain situations to pitch to Aaron Judge, including the situation that the Mariners found themselves in the eighth inning of last game. Like, let me ask, in these tight games, late in the game, even if he's leading off an inning, does it make sense to pitch to him? Like, are we going to, like, we talk about this, but then, like, baseball hasn't reacted. Barry Bonds got the Barry Bonds treatment, and rightfully so. Walked with the bases loaded, famously. But the Seattle Mariners allowed Aaron Judge to hit a home run in a tied ball game in the eighth inning, And I just wonder how many more teams are gonna throw him strikes, because I was watching MLB Network, and I forget the player they mentioned, but it was like the 8 hitter on the Houston Astros, like, and Judge sees as many strikes as he does. Like, why are we throwing Judge as many strikes as a bottom of the order hitter on a weak offense? And I wonder how long that's going to continue. Because even leading off an inning, and that would feel like blasphemy. Why would you put someone on? Even Judge, right? With a, what does he have, a 490 on-base percentage or whatever? Like, the odds are he still doesn't get on base. He's hitting 400. That means 6 times he's out if you throw him strikes. 6 times out of 10, he's still making out. But even to start off an inning late, it's dangerous to throw this guy strikes. And I'm curious to see how the Mets handle it. You know, the Mets know him very well. Mendoza knows him very well. And I'm curious to see, like, we're going to talk a lot about Soto here, but if when we get down to, like, who's going to win this series and, you know, the actual baseball of it, I'm curious to see how the Mets handle it. Now, the Mets and their pitchers have attacked. They've done an incredible job, right? McGill, especially, is someone who they've really tried to focus on throwing strikes and limiting walks and trusting his stuff. And I'm just curious to see, and not necessarily just the Mets, but I feel like we're getting to a point now where he continues to hit 400. It's getting to the middle of May, and particularly off that game last night where he wins the other night in Seattle, he wins a game with a late inning home run, and it's just, you got Bellinger hitting behind him. You got Volpe after that. Are you going to really throw this guy a strike in the zone and allow him to hit a home run and beat you? And as we get closer and when we start talking about these really good pitching teams, I'm curious to see how they're going to treat him. Famously last year, there's only 2 good hitters from Luis Severino about the New York Yankees. I'm curious how they might handle Aaron Judge in this series. Because I think the Yankees right now, especially with Pete Alonso hitting behind him, I heard a caller call into the afternoon show and just walk him. Don't even give him an opportunity to have a big series. No, I mean, right now, Juan Soto, until he proves otherwise, is just a very solid hitter with a better hitter behind him. Now, I don't know if Pete Alonso's a better hitter. I mean, for his career, he certainly isn't. And in a month, maybe he won't be. But right now, and especially going to face Rodon and Max Fried, you're going to figure you're going to attack him left-handed. It doesn't really make sense to put on Juan Soto in front of Pete Alonso, who's having a great MVP-type season. But for the Yankees, as good as some of the rest of the lineup has been, it is getting to that point where if I'm the Mets, if I'm the Seattle Mariners, if I am the Boston Red Sox, if it's a tied game in the 8th inning, I don't care when and where he comes up. I don't care if he leads off the inning. Like, why am I not making any other Yankee beat me? And we talk about it like it's obvious or that it's going to happen. Like, we talk so much about Juan Soto's production, protection. And Juan Soto's even talked about Juan Soto's protection. And we talk about Judge's protection. And eventually no one's going to pitch to him. And this, and it doesn't happen for him. It just doesn't happen. They're throwing him strikes. He is getting as many strikes as subpar Major League Baseball players. They are not throwing more balls to Aaron Judge. They're not walking him. Like, he's got a great eye, so he walks more. But they are attacking Aaron Judge as much as they attack anybody else. And I'm just wondering, we talk about him as Barry Bonds. We talk about protection and how important it is. It's not like he's getting world-class protection. It's better than last year in J.D. Davis, but it's not incredible. And yet, everybody attacks him, and everybody throws strikes to him. And I'm wondering if the Mets, especially off that late-inning home run, was that like, listen, it makes no sense. Tie game, if I have Reed Garrett, who's given up, one run this entire year, I got the 8th inning, I got my a damn good reliever on the mound who's been good for me, Reed Garrett, or whomever else, Brazoban, they've all been great. I got Diaz up in the 9th inning of a tie game on the road. Why am I pitching to Aaron Judge? Even if he's leading off the inning, why am I doing it? I'm going to make anybody but Judge beat me, and that has not turned yet. So I'm fascinated to see if the Mets would be the first team to do that. 888-808-1019. Don in Fort Lee. What's up, Don?
What's up, C-Mac?
What's up?
So 2 points, yes. If you can leave me on for a second. Well, what you say, I agree with what you're saying about Judge. At some point, that has to change. So what, if he keeps hitting like this and into the playoffs, he turns it on in the playoffs as well, at some point, you can't continue to pitch to him. It would make no sense.
No, I mean, I'm wondering why it hasn't happened already, at least to some extent. We haven't seen it at all. That's my point. Like, we haven't seen it at all. I can't think of a single, I mean, there's been a couple of intentional walks when it was obvious, you know, two outs, runner, you know, someone hits a double in front of him, you know, runner on second, two outs. Yeah, okay, you walk him. But I'm talking about, like, in any sort of late game, close situation, if I'm tied or up a run, I don't even care what the circumstance is. Why am I pitching a Judge? And we haven't seen that at all.
Right. No, absolutely. So the point I was going to make was, last year, if you recall, now whenever they talk about Julius Randle versus Cad.
Yes.
By the way, Randle has been tremendously consistent in the playoffs this year. He's been unreal.
He's been very good
overall. Tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at that trade, they leave out the X factor, DiVincenzo. The Knicks can certainly use DiVincenzo now off the bench. He was good defender on the perimeter off the bench. He was gritty. He was a great 3-point shooter. So I think they really missed DiVincenzo. And if you recall, when the Knicks first traded for OG Anunoby last year during the season, their chemistry was incredible until Randle got injured,
yeah,
and dislocated his shoulder.
Yes.
So part of me wishes they ran that back with Bridges, add Bridges, and just run it back.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, Cat's just been terribly inconsistent. Yeah, at times he looks like the most dominant player on the planet in terms of rebounds and scoring,
yeah,
and 3 points. You know, other times he's invisible out there. So I just don't get it.
No, I hear you, and thank you for the call. I don't view him. There was a game against Detroit that I felt he was invisible. I don't think he's been invisible in this series, and that's not really a heap of praise. I'm just telling you, I think that might be a little bit too far in his when you're getting on him to say he's been invisible. I haven't gotten that feeling from him. There was, I forget which game it was, whether it was game number two. I think it was game number two against the Pistons that I literally said, where the hell is he? I haven't felt that in the series, and part of it's because it's like, there he is making stupid fouls. But like, I haven't got the sense that he's disappeared or afraid of the moment or shied away. And he has been big rebounding. And he's even been better defensive in the paint than we thought he was, or his MO was out in Minnesota. He's had trouble on some of the closeouts, but he is a big guy. But he's had some trouble closing out for threes, particularly on switches with White. But offensively, he's hit some big shots. He hasn't taken any threes because they put Holiday on him. And he just hasn't been able to finish around the rim. That's the main thing. The dumb fouls, the inability to close out a little bit when guarding the perimeter off switches, and the inability to finish around the basket. That's my major issue with him. Now, I understand what you're saying, Randle. I saw Randle play for the Knicks. We saw him in the playoffs for the Knicks. I know not last year. And I know the chemistry was different that January when they were the best team in basketball for a month. I get it. But I'm not there yet. They're 1 win away from beating the Celtics. And I know he hasn't been great, but I'm going to have a real tough time like lamenting a trade when the Knicks are about to be in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years. Like, I'm going to have a real tough time lamenting that trade. And I just don't know if Randle would have done this. Also, like, I was watching that game. Now, not that Edwards isn't a ball-dominant player and a great player out in Minnesota, but I don't know, like, even though they were great in January and as great as Brunson was, he didn't really emerge into this yet. Like, he kind of took off once Randle went down and he had to become the guy. Randle needs the ball. Randle needs the ball to be what he is, and I just don't know on this team with Brunson, it works. I don't know. I really don't know. And there'll be time to lament that trade, and we got to see if Carl Anthony Towns can show up. But again, right now, they have an opportunity to win this game, and I'm not going to lament anything or regret anything. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals and go get to an NBA Finals. If they're going to be in a series, all of us think they can win. And if they go out and beat the Pacers, are we really going to go, oh my God, why I wish they would have traded. I wish they wouldn't have made that cat trade. Like, I don't know. Let's go to Josh in Old Bridge. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
Listen, off topic for me personally, I think the Knicks are going to take the series, face Indiana, and you're totally right about the whole Knicks situation right now. But to the Subway Series, I'm a huge Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets are lucky to have their pitching right now, and they're lucky to be winning these games by one run. I think the Yankees take the series. Aaron Judge is the best player in the league. I'm not going to argue that.
Mm-hmm.
But Juan Soto giving this quote of it's 50,000 versus one, it's like, where's the camaraderie with your team at, you know? And I'm thinking about that contract. I'm like, are you going to be like that for the next 15 years, maybe 10 realistically? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
He just, I mean, I don't think that comment, and thank you for the call, Josh. If you're unaware of what Josh said, when asked about how the fans are going to react, he... You know, Juan Soto said, well, I know it's going to be what it's going to be. It's going to be 50,000 against one. And I don't think he meant one. There's two ways to look at it, right? I mean, I heard Evan's take, and I knew, knowing Evan, this was going to be his take immediately. You know, there's going to be at least 15 to 20,000 Met fans in the building. So it's not 50,000. So we know that. There's going to be a portion of the building, a significant portion of the building, that are going to be Met fans, so it's not going to be all against them. But I don't think he meant that he has no one in his corner or that there's no one to help him. I think he meant when he steps to the plate, he understands that everyone in the building hates him. At least that's his view. I'm going to be there on Sunday, and if Juan, if you're listening, I don't hate you. Sorry. I'm not thrilled with you. And I hope you have a horrible series, but... I know a lot of Yankee fans are going to hate him and boo, and that's going to help the atmosphere and everything. We'll see. I don't know. I really didn't get the impression he means that. Now, look, the whole thing about him and the camaraderie and the team, I'm going to be totally honest with you. This is as honest as I can get. Have we seen some video and some moments where Juan Soto looks, for lack of a better term, less happy than he did last season? I'm not trying to be a Yankee jerk or say anything other than what I honestly believe. Yes, there have been some videos. I've watched a lot of the games, right? Whether it is after a home run or whatever the case may be. If I'm being honest, last year he felt like just raw emotion and, again, for lack of a better term, happiness. He just felt completely in his element. That's why me, guys even like Sal Licata, who've been screaming about Juan Soto being a Met forever, felt like the worm was turning to him staying with the Yankees, because it felt like he fit perfectly and was extremely happy being a Yankee. And there have been some moments watching him play where it hasn't felt like that, or we haven't seen it to the same level. Now, do I think when he gives a statement yesterday that he doesn't regret his decision, that he's happy being a Met, that he thinks the team is really good and the team is going to be good for a while, and he doesn't regret his decision at all and he's happy where he is? I believe him 1,000%. I do not think he is unhappy being a Met. I do not think he regrets his decision. I don't think he's sitting at home lamenting being a Met and wishing he was a New York Yankee again. I think that is patently ridiculous, and we are reading too much into it. What I do think is there is a possibility that the pressure of the contract is even not greater or lesser, but different than the pressure of big games and postseasons and 50,000 people booing you or cheering you or whatever the case may be, that the pressure that he finally had that offseason he was looking forward to, or, you know, that was waiting for him, he made it. He made a decision. The numbers probably got even higher than he thought they would get, even though Scott Boras is probably telling him $1 billion. But the number became so great that it was a little bit more than he maybe even expected. And the pressure of living up to that contract is a little different than any other pressure he's felt. And it's just a different experience. And he's gotten off to a start where he's not playing as well as he's normally playing. He's slightly slumping. And that's still while putting up very good numbers. But for him, it's slightly down. So I don't know if he's dealing with that a little bit or whatever the case may be. I don't think I'm miserable here. I don't love my teammates. I don't like this place. Get me out of here, like some Yankee fans would try and tell you. It's ridiculous. But there is something. So I understand why. I'm not even sure if he was a Yankee fan or a Met fan. But when you see the comment 50,000 versus one, if you're going to try and make that into, what are you talking about? You have the 25 other guys on the roster and you have the other fans in the building. This isn't just about you, Juan, or whatever. Like, I think you're reading too much into it. I think that's just his way of saying, yeah, he understands the crowd's against him. That's it. And again, just to put to bed all that stuff, because that's become a thing now with his happiness or whatever. Like, last year got off to a great start. He got the game-winning hit against the Astros. He threw out the guy at the plate. Judge was struggling. He was carrying them. They were winning. He was having the best start to his career. He was hitting home runs at Yankee Stadium. Things were going well. They haven't gone as well for him personally with the Mets. He hasn't been as good a player. He will find it. At some point, he will be as good as any point with the New York Yankees, and I'm sure his body language will pick up, but, like, I don't know. I wouldn't even address it if I didn't think it became a thing and now is leading people into reading into everything he says as well. Like, and it's part of it, too, because his body language is what makes him fun. Like, I'll be totally honest. Like, part of the reason I was depressed that he was leaving is because I loved watching him play baseball. His at-bats are more, like, watching Judge is incredible. It's like watching, a world-class chess player. Like, he's just so incredible to watch because of the success. Soto was watching a movie. Soto was watching an art performance. Soto was watching, you know, I mean, everything about it is, he tells a story of the at-bat with his body language like no other player I've ever watched before. And that has been tampered down a little bit with the Mets this year. And it's probably just because he's not performing quite as well just yet. But I have no doubt. And Met fans who are right now going, oh my God, all he does is troll the Mets. I'm fully expecting Juan Soto to have a huge series. Juan Soto is going to have a big series in the Bronx. I have no doubt. That's what he does. I fully expect him to have a big series. Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's up? Don't forget that Juan Soto had a career year last year, so slightly down is actually his career average.
Yeah, I mean, I still think he's not. I mean, you're right, but if you look at it overall, I mean, he's hitting 230. I know he's had some seasons or 240, I think. Like, he's had some seasons where it's been that low or times where it's been that low, but, I mean, he's having a slight down year even for his normal. But you're right. Last year was incredible. Last year was the best year of his career.
Yes. And I think Yankee Stadium had something to do with that.
No doubt.
About Judge. Mm-hmm.
255. I don't want to short him. I just wanted to interrupt you. He has brought his average up to 255. The lowest batting average he's ever had for a season was, he hit 242 in 22, but he had a miserable go of it when he first got traded. So I still think 255 and an 845 OPS, which would be the lowest of his career. So right now he's got the lowest OPS of his entire career. So it's not just not as good as last year. He is kind of, and again, 845 is an excellent OPS. It's just not The lowest OP that year, 2022, when he hit 240, his OPS was 853. He's slugging less, and he's on base less than he typically has been.
Yeah, he'll slug more over the course of the year, and he'll probably get up to 950, which is his career average. And I know that people think that because of his contract, he's supposed to slug 1,300, but he's not that guy.
No.
The guy who is that is Judge, so let's get to him.
Yes.
In a typical Judge season, you talk about whether or not to pitch to Judge. How many times will Judge strike out?
180, yeah, something like that. Now, this year, the strikeouts are down this year, but yes.
Roughly 200 times. And how many home runs do you expect him to hit? About 50 home runs?
Yeah, 50 home runs is a good, nice
baseline. So if I'm a pitcher, I feel like I have a four-time better chance of striking him out than I do him hitting a home run. So I'm never going to go into an at-bat saying that Judge is going to hit a home run off me if I'm a strikeout pitcher.
It's not just what Judge does, it's what's behind him. Like, why put yourself in that position? And right now, we can talk about average, right? He's got 42 strikeouts and 41 RBIs, right? He's hitting 412. Last year, he struck out 170 times. The year before that, he was injured, so only 130. He hasn't struck out 200 times since his rookie season. So, but I'm just saying, like, right now,
Just use rough numbers.
It's roughly under 200. But he's got 42 strikeouts and 41 RBIs. He leads Major League Baseball in runs, hits, home runs, RBIs, batting average, OPS, slugging, OPS plus, total bases. Like, he leads them in everything. So if you're late in a game, like, you're right. What are the odds? The odds are I'm going to strike him out. What are the odds you're going to do with Bellinger, Volpe? Like, what about those odds? Why am I going to take the 50-50 chance or the 60-40 chance with Aaron Judge when I got a 80% chance of getting the next two guys out behind him?
Well, look, this comes down to OPS. If you have a guy that's got a, 12 or 1,300 OPS, which Judge does routinely, that's why it would always make sense to just walk him, because you're going to lower his OPS.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Just by putting him on first base.
And you can't do it consistently forever, and thank you for the call, Steve, up against the break. But I'm just saying right now, and especially late, even with nobody on late in the game, why would I let him hit a home run that beats me in the eighth inning of a tie game? Why would I do that? And we talk about it, but we don't see it. We talk about he's Barry Bonds, and he's got no protection. They're not going to throw him strikes this year. He's got no one with Juan Soto in front of him, no one behind him. They're not going to throw him strikes this year. He sees as many strikes as anybody else in baseball. Like, we talk, it's like one of the talking points Met fans had as like let's see the Judge year without Juan Soto. You're talking about Juan Soto and Judge. Okay, let's see Judge without Juan Soto. Let's see him without the protection. Let's see this, let's see that. He's having the greatest year of his career, and they're still throwing him as many strikes as ever. So, like, what does it matter? And I'm wondering if that's ever going to change, because we talk about it, but baseball hasn't done that. We call him Barry Bonds. Baseball hasn't called him Barry Bonds yet. And I'm wondering if it's going to happen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.